Blog Talk Radio.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, free from things breaking. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we're talking about, come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. Grace and peace from Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. All praises to the Most High God of Israel. Once again, I want to say welcome, everyone, to the Sound of Living Waters. I'm Pastor Moore, a.k.a. Joe Israel. And I want to say welcome again to everyone. Shalom, can I get a mic check, please?
You sound good to me, brother.
All right, great. That's a beautiful thing. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. yes, well, it's the Sabbath, and today we're dealing with a beautiful part of the Sabbath, and that is, and this is the thing we want to get into. It's his word. Before we get started, you know, we haven't had an opportunity to thank the people that's listening abroad. And every now and again, we like to just say thank you and give honorable mentions to do, because without you, you know, we know that the inspiration is there because you're there every week, and we love you for that. Thank you for being to the side. Excuse me. No, it's not COVID. I just had some cut in my throat. But to our family in Canada, God bless you. Of course, the family in the States. And our family and the United Kingdom, welcome back. Our family in Ireland, welcome back. France, God bless you, welcome back. Germany, God bless you, welcome back. Netherlands, God bless you, welcome back. Turkey, God bless you, welcome back. And Greece, welcome back. Romania, God bless you and welcome back. Nigeria, God bless you and welcome back. Egypt, God bless you and welcome back. And Ethiopia, God bless you and welcome back as well. And Kenya, hey, God bless you as well. Chile, God bless you for hanging in there. And again, welcome back. Russia, staying in there. God bless you, and always stay focused on the Lord, and welcome back. Estonia, God bless you, and welcome back. Latvia, always there. God bless you. Estonia and Estonia, God bless you, too. And welcome back. We did say Germany and France and the UK. Iran, God bless you, and welcome back. And Pakistan, God bless you, welcome back. And India, God bless you, and welcome back. And Myanmar, God bless you, and welcome back. I know I got that right. Indonesia as well, God bless you, and welcome back. Philippines as well, God bless you too, welcome back. And Australia, welcome back. And Japan as well, guess who's back? Man, got friends in Japan. All right, God bless you and welcome back. South Korea, hey, and welcome back. And I think we got everyone. Yeah, I think we did. Okay, well, and once again, all our family in Canada, and we are the States, and we just want to say thank you. All and our family in Israel, increasing, God bless you, and always, always welcome back. Today, we want to say we are dealing with the creation. We're dealing with the creation still. We're in the first day. And we in a heaven part of it. That is to say, this is the seventh of heaven. You know, we dealt with the manifestation of it, the creation and everything, and the laws that it's governed by. Now, the reason, cause, and effect, that's that thing. That's what we are looking at now. Why is there heaven? What's the purpose of a heaven? What's the point of a heaven? What's the point of a heaven? Why do we need a heaven? Why do God need a heaven? I guess that's the question too. Why do God need a heaven, right? So, with that being said, Brother Keith.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Well, grace and peace in Jesus. Welcome again, man. And I hope you got a scripture for us, brothers and sisters. If we can stand and face Jerusalem, brothers, if you can uncover your heads, and sisters, if you can cover your heads, we approach the Father.
Amen. In Judah is God known. His name is great in Israel. In Salem, also in his tabernacle, and in his dwelling place in Zion. There break he the arrows of the bow, the shield, and the sword, and the battle. Selah. Thou art more glorious and excellent than the mountains of prey. The stone-hearted are spoiled. They have slept their sleep, and none of the men of might have found their hands. At thy rebuke, O God of Jacob, both the chariot and horse are cast into a dead sleep. Thou, even thou, art to be feared, and who may stand in thy sight when once thou art angry? Thou didst cause judgment to be heard from heaven. The earth feared and was still. When God arose to judgment to save all the meek of the earth, Selah. I have read Psalms 76 verses 1 through 9. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading and teaching of his word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Our Father, hallowed be done in thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us of our debts as we forgive us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. In Jesus' name we pray. Heavenly Father, have mercy on our sins and allow us into your kingdom. Father, have mercy and send forth both physical and spiritual gifts upon us. And Father, have mercy on our teachers, our elders, and our brethren and their families. Father, have mercy on them that don't know you, God, but delight in blessing us because they see your light, your kindness upon us, Father. Have mercy on them and their families as well. And Father, have mercy on our children and our children's children and their children and their families. And Father, have mercy and send forth the Holy Spirit to perceive and ask to see and is to hear. In the mouth to speak your word with wisdom, knowledge, and understanding, and the faith to perform it. And Father, hear us and send forth the Holy Spirit upon them as well. And give them too a mind to perceive and ask to see and is to hear. Knowledge and understanding and the faith to perform it. In Jesus' name we pray for your mercy to endure forever. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, we're going to start this where we start all these creation precepts. Chapter 1, Genesis chapter 1, in verse 1. Genesis 1 and 1. And here's the thing. What is heaven for? What, just thinking about, you know, God, right? what make these things and why? And what was the point? And, you know, so this is where he got me at. You know, like, what is you doing with all these things? What's the purpose of it? You know, why you even make it? You know, that what got me. That's where I'm at with the Lord. You know, these things that belong to him, you know, that's, oh my God. Genesis chapter 1, Genesis 1 and 1, when you receive the read.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. There was light. And God saw the light, that it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day."
Even in the morning were the first day. So this is that thing. So we're dealing with the first day of the creation. You got a lot of things going on in the first day. You got the beginning, whatever that is. Well, I guess we found that out because we covered that. We got God. What is he made of? And, well, I guess we got that too. So then he said created heaven and earth. We ain't got to earth yet because we're still dealing with heaven. But this is part 7 of heaven. I mean, you know, we dealt with exactly the laws of it. The laws was given to it for, as far as time and space and everything. And now it's purpose. That's what we. So this is heaven part 7. You know, so go back to 1 and read 1.
Brother, you are breaking up a little bit.
Okay. Is it a lot or a little?
Just a little.
Okay. Well, yeah, read Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1.
Genesis 1 and 1 reads, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth."
Okay, so now we see in the beginning God created heaven and earth. This is what we're dealing with, heaven. And let's go into Psalms chapter 115. Psalms chapter 115. And 16. In fact, pick it up, yes. Psalms 115 and 15, when you receive it, read.
Okay. Psalms 115 and 15 read, ye are blessed of the Lord which made heaven and earth. The heaven, even the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth hath he given to the children of men.
See that? So the heaven, even the heavens belong to God. So there's no reason for us to even think that we're going to go there. There's no reason for us to even think that we have anybody in heaven, period. You know, there's no reason for us to even believe that we'll be, you know, at that time window, you see. Go into Psalms chapter 144 and 5.
Did you say Psalms 144 and 5?
Yes.
Psalms 144 and 5 reads, bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke.
See, he said, bow down thy heavens, O Lord, and come down, and shall smoke. What do you mean? Because if you bring heaven down, then heaven, this is what happens. Go to 1 Peter, because see, this is what, I think I'm in 2 Peter. Hold on. Let's see. Yeah, 2 Peter chapter 3 and 1. Listen. So you can listen to somebody else, but you can't listen to me. I heard you.
You said 2
Second Peter chapter 3 and verse, what I say?
Second Peter 3 and 1?
Yeah.
All right. Second Peter 3 and 1 reads, this second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior.
Amen. Keep reading.
Okay, yes, sir. Verse 3 reads, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking around, walking after their own lust, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day.
I need you to keep reading, but you see right here that heavens is given a law of time. It did have a law of time in the beginning because he had to write a law in heaven. That is to say, a day in heaven is 1,000 years. A day to us is 24 hours, but a day in heaven is 1,000 years. Those are laws that exist even now, even though we're in a 24-hour window. But that is to say, when Adam sinned against God, he died the very day. He didn't live a whole day. He lived 930 years. So he didn't live a whole day with God as heaven. But we, God willing, we live, and we come up in the first resurrection, we will live with God 1,000 years, as Revelation chapter 20 tells us. Amen?
Continue. Amen. Verse 9. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up.
All these things, man. Heaven is on fire. That's just it. Outside of this cosmos, outside that darkness, that dark space, each star, you know, because the sun and the moon, the sun gives light upon the earth and the moon gives light upon the earth. And don't give light where it's at, like a light bulb. A light bulb gives light to everything. But the sun and the moon just give light on earth. Go figure, right? But that's the law, isn't it? So that black, that dark, that matter, that dark matter in between two planets, you know, that's going to be done away with. When you come back, you're going to be able to see right through those things. You're going to see heaven for what it is. The planets ain't going to get destroyed. The stars aren't going to get destroyed. The heavens aren't going to, you know, all the planets, all the stars is going to stay in their places. They're going to be moved. You're going to have a new constellation. But when he bring this, he bring in heaven, man. It's like he's going to reveal it all to us. It's on fire. It's nowhere for us to be. Heaven is made for God. That's what we read. Heaven is made for God, right? Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Revelation 11. Revelation 11. And verse 19. Revelation 11 and 19. When you receive the reading.
Revelation 11 and 19 reads, and the temple of God was opened in heaven, and there was seen in his temple the ark of his testament, and there were lightnings and voices and thunderings and an earthquake and great hail.
So we just found out there's a what in heaven? A temple. Why do you need a temple? The same reason why you needed a temple on the earth. The temple on the earth was actually temporary. The temple on the earth was a representation of the temple that's in heaven. Moses erected the exact same temple that was in heaven where God in Christ is. That is to say, Melchizedek. And the Melchizedek, the priest of the Most High God, who is Chesedek. You got Melchizedek and then you got Chesedek. Oh, he said Jehoshaphat and Joshua, right? So the conversation is here. So that's where they at. They're in the temple. And notice what else is going on here, right? You got thunderings and lightnings and fire and all that type of stuff and great hail. All that's in his temple. You know ain't no man up there. How come when we see all these movies, and how come we see all these different films or things that don't look nothing like this. You know, oh God, where art thou? Then they show people going to heaven. It don't look, in fact, this looks more like the lake of fire that people be drawing than anything. Hell falling down and the lake of fire, and yeah, if you ask me, that's what that really looked like to me. That would be what hell would look like to me. You see, this is that thing. So why you need a temple in heaven, man? What's the point? What's the point of a temple in heaven? Let's look at that, right? Let's first find out the cause and effect. Let's go into Genesis chapter 14 and verse 17. Now, Abraham just got Lot, his nephew, back. And this presence is going to come and lead him. We're going to follow his story, because his story actually lead us to the Father. You see, his story lead us to the temple. So when we follow his story, we start finding out a little bit more.
Genesis 14 and 17.
14 and 17, yes.
Genesis 14 and 17 reads, "And the king of Sodom went out to meet him after his return from the slaughter of Kedor-Laomer and of the kings that which were with him at the valley of Shavah, which is the king's dale. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God."
See, and he blessed him. This is that Jesus thing. He brought forth bread and wine. What did Jesus bring to the disciples? Bread and wine. That this is Jesus, right? When you follow his story, then you start saying that him and Jesus are doing the same thing. This Melchizedek, king of Salem, king of peace, brought forth bread and wine. Not bulls and goats. Bread and wine. We're going to show you why. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now, he's a king, but he's a priest of something that's higher than him. You mean he's a king and it's higher than him? So the priest always was above the kings in the government of God. The Levites always was above the kings, because the Levites instructed the kings. That's where your wisdom come from. The law of wisdom is supposed to be in Levi's mouth. This is that thing. Read on.
Verse 18. "And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. And he was the priest of the Most High God. And he blessed him and said, Be blessed, Abram of the Most High God, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all."
See, when you get tithes, and the king of Sodom, the kingdom. You see, when you hold your tithes back, you saying that you don't want to be in the kingdom. Tithes are kingdom tithes. And it's for the priest. That's all to it. I mean, whatever they do with it, that's between them and God. It's basically the, you know, and that means that sometimes they're going to go to the store and buy some wine with it. So that's all to it. But it's theirs. They work for it. Just like you go to work for your money. You know, people act like, you know, when, you know, it's just about whatever. You know, you got guys buying jets with tithes. And here you buy a bottle of wine to sit down to have in the privacy of your home, and you get just right.
Amen.
Yeah. Anyway, but this is kingdom work, right? So Abraham did the right thing. He paid his tithes. Now, this is Melchizedek. People say, well, where's the church at? Where's the church here? I don't see it. Where's the church at? Where's the temple? Where is it? All I see is Melchizedek. That's it. He came and he got it. That's the end of it. So, who is this person? What did we just got through? 18 said, Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought forth bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Now watch this. Go into Matthew chapter 26. Matthew 26 and 17. I'm going to need another bottle of water.
Matthew 26 and 13 reads.
17.
Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached in the whole world, there shall also be
17.
Oh, 17. Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Matthew 26 and 15 reads.
17.
And 17. Matthew 26 and 17 reads. Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying unto him, where wilt thou that we prepare for thee to eat the Passover? And he said, go into the city to such a man and say unto him, the master saith, my time is at hand. I will keep the Passover at thy house with my disciples.
Okay,
and the disciples did.
Now, right here they say we don't have to eat any lamb or meat. We don't have to have a feast on the Passover. That's not true. You just don't have to kill the lamb for the Passover, but you still have a feast. It's a feast night. It's the first feast. So, yeah. I mean, in a sense, you really want to do it big, but you can't really do it big because whatever's left over, you got to discard it. You got to burn it up. Because you got another feast coming in, which is the 15th day. So none of that on the first day can be left. This is why Jesus is here, right? So he said,
right.
Now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying, where wilt thou the first day of unleavened bread? Period. Now, I need you to skip down to verse 26 and read.
Verse 26 reads, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave it to the disciples and said,
Stop. So you see here, they were feasting. And then he took the bread and broke it. See that?
Yes.
So what's wrong with having a feast on the Passover? You would think because Jesus, this is his body, you know, why would we? Nobody said to sacrifice a lamb. You can go to the store and buy you a lamb and cook it for the Sabbath day, for the Passover. You know, lamb chops. You ain't sacrificing anything. I'm just saying, man, it is the night of the lamb. I'm just saying. I mean, somewhere in Kansas eating lamb, vegetarian or not. So I ain't saying go sacrifice a lamb. I'm saying go eat you some lamb. You know, go get you a lamb roast or something, or a leg of lamb, you know. Put some lamb on your breath. So look, he said this, and they were eating, man. They were feasting already. It's a feast night. The Passover is a feast night. Then he took, technically, we're not supposed to give the bread after everybody ate. See that? We're not supposed to do that first. I mean, I literally just saw that right then. That as they were eating, then he broke the bread and he became with the bread and wine. But we always make sure you got unleavened with your food and whatever, you know, on the Father feast. You know, we don't exactly go through this matter, but we have a feast. And we definitely make sure it's unleavened on your plate. That's his body, right? Continue.
Right.
You there?
Yeah, I'm here, sir.
Okay, yeah, read.
Oh, okay.
Matthew 26 and 20.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Verse 26 reads, and as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
See that? That's Melchizedek. That's what he told Abraham. That's the same thing he did with Abraham. He gave him the bread and wine. That's him right there. That's what he did back in Genesis chapter 14. He said, this is my body. This is my blood. This is my body. But I won't drink no more of this here to my Father's kingdom. He told him, this is a kingdom shot. This is he a king. His kingdom is the kingdom of peace. So he know because he's a king. He's got him. If you're a king, that means you're a king of something. You're the king of peace, a word, an atmosphere, a presence that's everywhere. You kidding me? Only God can come up with that. Only God can come up with that. He can be the king of everywhere. That's why I know this book ain't written by a man. So this is Jesus Christ. What he did was, this is the same thing that he did with Abraham. This is him. This is the exact same. This is the Christ. In fact, let's look at that. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 7. All right? Let's look at the transition, because this is him. And let me reiterate. This male here, I need y'all to pay attention to this conversation. 7:1. When you read it, when you get there, read.
Hebrews 7:1 reads, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
See that? He's a king of a presence. Are you kidding me? Which is everywhere. Only God can give him that kind of title. You see that? He's the king of Salem. This is who met Abraham. This is him. He said, returning from the king, the slaughter of the king, of the Dales, right? Read on.
Verse 3 reads, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually.
See, this is God. Melchizedek, when he met Abraham, this was God. That was him. He said, without father, without mother, then where you come from? Well, we know angels didn't come from a mother and a father, right? So let's throw that out there. Okay, so maybe he was an angel, right? Without descent, so period, we wiping that completely out. Having neither beginning of days. Wait a minute, the angels don't exist until heaven is created, so they got beginning of days. Whoever this is, don't. So this is past angels now. So this is God, and he said, "Yeah, of course." Right? But made like unto the Son of God, abide for priest forever, continually. Abide for priest continually. You see this? So this is him, Melchizedek. So he's the priest of the Most High God. This is the one that taught Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of knowledge and good and evil. You see? This is the one that taught Adam how to think. This is him, this is Melchizedek. This guy right here taught Adam how to think. He showed him everything in the world. He said, all these things I give to you, these are dominions, these are yours. He taught him that. Adam walked on water with him, just like Peter did. Except for Adam had no fear of death. So he walked on the water with him. With no issues, because there's no fear of death. Well, you could have took him around the whole planet just walking on water, man. What? You kidding me? No fear of waves, like our disciples were. Lord, the waves is howling, and he was in the front sleep. You see? That's how. He's the second Adam. So Adam didn't fear those things either. You see? Was with Adam. This is Adam, his speech. This is the one here that him and to take this speech off the planet. Because our minds had gotten to the point that we can reach heaven. I don't even think we there now. I don't think, even though we use the mathematics type of things, I don't think we were at the point that Nimrod were. And I think the Tower of Babel was a figure of speech. I think they actually had discovered how to open a dominion. Lord, fix that. But then, a complete constitution. I mean, it was no our knowledge. So yeah, of course we'll be able to do things like that. Now, you know, we're being dumbed down, uneducated, what we call that, de-evolutionized. You're being de-evolutionized. You know, mankind is being de-evolutionized. instead of us evolving consciously, they devolving our consciousness, so to say. Turn us into the face of the beast of the field. Food, water, sex. That's primitive. Having no beginning of days, end of life. That's God. Let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1. Hebrews 1
reads, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world.
Amen.
Who?
Continue.
Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had himself purged all sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high.
Stop. So, here he is. He said, in these last days by his Son, right? He said, God is Son. He said, remember now, he's the priest of the Most High God. So this is the Most High right here in verse 1. And then he said, in the last days spoken unto us by his Son, that's Melchizedek. That's him, whom he have appointed of all things, also made the world. That is to say, mindset. This is him. So, these two are in heaven judging mankind. For whatever reason, however for reason, that's what they do. This is what they do. That's their job. I ain't knocking it. You know, a lot of people got a problem with this, but it is what it is. And I'm good with it because I love the story. You know, I love the idea that it was even an idea, even a thought to even come together with something like this, you know. So he said he sat down on the right hand of God. This is the Son right here, right? So now go into Psalms chapter 110, and pick it up at verse 1. So this is the Father, he said, spoken in the last days by his Son, he said, sit at my right hand. And what? Till I make thy enemies thy footstool. Who is that? Psalms 110 and 1, when you receive the read.
Psalms 110 and 1 reads, and the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool.
That's the same conversation. But we picked it up in the Psalms, right? But look at this. Verse 2.
The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule thou in the midst of thine enemies.
So why? Because Jesus is out of the tribe of Judah, right? Continue. Read on.
Verse 3. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power in the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
There it is. So we just got through finding out Jesus that sat down on the right hand of God. And he said this, thou hast to do it, I you. What do you mean? He's 33 years old, right?
Right.
But his hair is like snow. But then when we read in Hebrews, he said he's the express image of the Father. That means the Father has, you see. And then he told him this. He said, the Lord has sworn and will not repent of the order of Melchizedek. See that? That's him. the priest of the Most High. He sat down and gave the disciples the bread and the wine. He was, you know, that's the Passover. That's why we even looking at day one, because we got to get to day 14, and we're still in day one. If we can really understand what we're trying to go with this God willing we live, we in day one trying to get to day 14. Are we listening? Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Read 5, 6, and 7, and then we're going to move on, because this is going to come up again.
Verse 4. The Lord has sworn and will not repent. Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way. Therefore shall he lift up the head.
Now, let's look at this a little further. Let's go into Hebrews chapter, let's go back, Hebrews chapter 1, right? Let's pick that up again. Hebrews chapter 1, he said this, he said, Hebrews 1:3. Let's start it at verse 1 again.
Okay. Hebrews 1:1 reads, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, Thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
Stop.
And again,
stop. This make him a Chesedek. This make him male. That's it. That's what he is. That's a species in itself. That's a species that it don't exist on this planet. That's a species that don't exist. That's an alien. Yes, there's life in other worlds, and this is one. This is it. He said this. He said they are Chesedeks. That's what they are. Hopefully, when we come up in the resurrection, we'll be turned into one of them. This is the conversation. Being priests of the Most High God, just like Levi, you had Moses, then you had Aaron, and then you had the you had Kohath and the other two brothers that was in charge of the sanctuary, the tent, and the things, the temple, the things of the temple. You had these three brothers, and then you had the oldest was over all of them. Well, that would be the Christ. This is here. Well, that's what the Levitical priesthood represented, the Melchizedek priesthood. But the Levitical priesthood was only for temporary thing, because flesh and blood is only going to be temporary. That is to say, one day there'll be no more flesh and blood. That's why he offered them bread and wine. And he said, let all the angels of God get that. Read on. Verse 6.
Verse 6 reads, and again, when he bringeth in the first begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angel spirits and his ministers a flame of fire.
Everything, he said, let all the angels worship him. Now, remember now, this one person here cleaned up the sanctuary. This him. He cleaned the sanctuary up. This is him. He said, let all the angels of God worship him. Watch this. Look what he said. Let's see if he called him an angel. Verse 8
reads, but unto the Son, he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom.
Ain't that why he's... There he is. Sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And he gave him a scepter. He said he's going to rule them. And he's going to lift up the head. This is him. He said, onto the Son, he said, thy throne, O God. He called him God. The Most High called Melchizedek God right there. You see that?
Right.
Because Melchizedek is the priest of the Most High God. So if he's talking to Melchizedek, then the Most High just called Melchizedek God. Are we seeing this? That's why we can say that he has no descent, because he just said it right there. He don't have, he's God. That, and it is forever and ever. That's absolute. You can't get around that. Continue. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm at verse 8. Oh,
okay, okay, all right.
You want me to continue?
Yes, continue.
Yes, sir. Verse 8. But unto the Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore, God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows.
So there you go. Exactly. Now you got the Father anointing him. He said, therefore, God, I'm talking to you. This is God talking. Even thy God, me, the Most High, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Like Moses anointing Aaron to be the high priest. Right?
Right.
And then the rest of them, he your helpers in the priesthood. That's it. That's what this is about. You know, the first resurrection. This all is the first resurrection, and you get here. You know, that's what this Melchizedek priesthood is about. You know, you're not gonna blase your way into this. You can miss that. It's not gonna happen. I don't know what it is. So, he's going to be anointed with the oil of gladness above that. So, read that 10 and we're going to continue.
Verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands.
That's why we can read that in Genesis chapter 1. It said, God. That's them. That's why he said, God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness. Why? Because God is a species. It's not a term. It's a species. You know, I mean, you could say it's paganistic or idolatrous because it's a Phoenician alphabet, but you can't stop there. The Phoenician alphabet is pagan all the way around. You can't pick and choose your poison. I mean, it is what it is. let's look at this a little further. Let's go back to that 7. Okay.
Verse
let's go back to 7. And let's pick it up at verse 1. And just read. All right? Now it's going to unfold itself. Because now he said, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. Right?
Right.
Continue.
Hebrews 7:1?
Yes, sir.
Hebrews 7:1 reads, for this Melchizedek, the king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that also king of Salem, which is king of peace.
Hey, wait a minute. So there's no lineage there, none. So if you're going to be a part of his kingdom, you got to be a king of, you got to be a person of righteousness and a person of peace. Yep. Continue.
Verse 3. Without father, without mother, without descent, having neither the beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth a priest continually. Now consider how great this man was, unto whom even the patriarch Abraham gave the tenth of the spoils. And verily, they that are of the sons of Levi, who receive the office of the priesthood, having a commandment to take tithes of the people, according to the law, that is, of their brethren, though they come out of the loins of Abraham, whose descent is not counted from them, received tithes of Abraham and blessed him that had the promises. Without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And here, men that die receive tithes, but there he receiveth them of whom it is witness that he liveth. And as I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, pay tithes in Abraham, for he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? For the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law.
There it is. See? When Jesus came, he gave bread and wine. Changed the law. No more flesh and blood. Why? Because his kingdom don't have flesh and blood in it. No, it's not about flesh and blood. It's about righteousness, man. It ain't about flesh and blood. Flesh and blood is, oh yeah, I'm out of the tribe of Israel. Flesh and blood is saying I'm Jamaican, or flesh and blood is those things. Flesh and blood is to say you German and Irish. That's flesh and blood. You don't get that here. Those that come up, it ain't about flesh and blood. Got to understand that. It's about righteousness. It's about peace. It's about those things. Continue.
Verse 13. For he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is written that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning priesthood. And it is yet far more evident, for that after the similitude of Melchizedek, there ariseth another priest, who is made not after the law of a carnal commandment, but after the power of an endless life. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Continue. Continue.
No. That's a good catch. See, it wasn't about lineage then. The Melchizedek priesthood isn't about lineage. That's why he said, you know, it would have been one after the Levitical priesthood, but it wasn't about that. You see, he said it's about the Melchizedek priesthood, which is about righteousness. And so him, he's being a king of righteousness. Now, for it is evident our Lord sprang out of Judah. See, it doesn't, of which Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood, because the priesthood isn't about lineage. Not the Melchizedek priesthood. The Melchizedek priesthood is about righteousness. But he had to come through the king's tribe. That make him a king. He had to come through the king's tribe, Judah. Judah ruled with God. There he is. This is it. Judah transitioned into Melchizedek. Judah ruled with God. Judah is with God right now. Judah is sitting right next to the Most High as the priest, of which there was nothing spoke of the priesthood, because the Melchizedek priesthood isn't about flesh and blood. Once again, it's about righteousness. And then he said, thou art priest, where he said, he testified. Who is that he? That's the Father. Read on.
17. For he testifieth, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. For there is verily a disannulling of the commandment going before the weakness and unprofitableness thereof. For the law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did, by the which we draw nigh unto God. And inasmuch as not without an oath he was made priest. For those priests were made without an oath, but this with an oath by him, that he said unto him, the Lord swear and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek.
See that? You can read nowhere in the law the priest that Levi was consecrated forever. Nowhere. They was anointed, but they wasn't consecrated. That is to say, not like this. Tell you.
Verse 22. By so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And they truly were many priests, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continued forever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them.
See that?
Yes.
He could talk about Abraham, because we just, and throughout time, we could see that he was there. And then he said, even after himself, because he now lived forever, everyone that comes after them he also can save them as well to the utmost part. See that?
Yes.
Who thinks?
Right.
I just did it.
Breaking up real bad, brother.
Okay.
Verse 25. Wherefore, he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath, which was since the law, maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore.
There it is. You see that consecrated. That was him that made. That Abraham wants him to be the king of peace. You know, like they say, he was going to war with him. You know, Jesus did. That I come to peace. But he was an A&R because he did make it by law. He didn't tell you to himself. He said, I'm a stranger to this world. This is who he is. He's done with flesh and blood. Let's get to Hebrews chapter 8. That's
I can't hear you. You're breaking up. What was that again?
Hold on. Ray. Excuse me. I got to turn it off. Hold on.
Yes, sir.
Can you hear me?
Yes, sir. Yes, I can. You sound better.
All right.
Did you say Hebrew?
Hold on.
Sure.
Can you hear me?
Go back to your voice.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, you can hear me now?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, good. I just want to make sure that I wasn't breaking up anymore. Okay, good. All right, well. What was the last thing you heard?
The last thing that I heard was, I think, we finished Hebrews 1 through 28.
Okay,
Hebrews 7, 1 through 28.
Hebrews chapter 9.
Hebrews chapter 9?
Yeah. Okay. Pick it up at verse 11. Because remember now, he's the first, man. This is what the wave offering is about. The wave offering is the first fruits. The wave offering is your conversation between the priesthood. And we don't even keep that feast for the most part among the camps. We don't. We don't keep the wave offering. And this is why a lot of the camps is off for the rest of the year, because they don't keep the wave offering. They look at it like it's just a, I don't know, like some conversation just is there. But the book says it's Sabbath. You know, and we're supposed to have a feast on it. Anyway, this is that thing. So his blood cleansed up the sanctuary, and now we can see him being accepted by the Father. Watch this. 9 and 11, will you receive it? Read.
Hebrews 9 and 11 reads, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building.
You see that?
Neither.
See that thing? No, no, no. That's that thing. You see, he is the high priest. There is a temple in God. That's what a temple in heaven. That's what we was talking about. The temple in heaven. So there he is. But he just called it a tabernacle here. So this is that thing. So he's the high priest, right? Watch this. Look what he did inside of that temple right there that he's talking about right there. Go ahead.
All right. Verse 11, but Christ being come in high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once unto the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us.
What? He went to where? He went where? He went where? He went to the eternal where? What did I just say?
Holy
he went
place.
Into where? What? What?
He Wait went to.
Read that. Read that again.
Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal.
There, continue, continue. I'm sorry, I'm just frantic right now. Read on. Read it again.
Verse 12. Neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us.
Okay, so now. He entered to the holy place. Now, the holy place is now is heaven. That's because he said, not this place. This one here wasn't made with hands. That's the one we read about in Revelation chapter 11. He said, and we've seen in his temple, thunder and lightnings and this, that. So this is where his blood went and cleaned up with sin, with Satan's sin and heaven. So he went to the most holy place. This is why Aaron had to sprinkle the blood on the most holy place, because the sins of man. Well, guess what? That's the same conversation in heaven. Because that's what Satan sinned there. So his blood not only cleaned us up, man and the earth, but it also cleaned up heaven. This is that conversation. His blood, right now, let's go and watch this. Now go right over to John, St. John chapter 20. St. John chapter 20 and 1.
St. John 20 and 1 reads, the first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher, and see if the stone taken away from the sepulcher.
Okay, stop. So all we get was to say that it's the first day of the week, right? Which is the wave offering. This is the first day of the week. This is the first day of the week during the week of unleavened bread. That make it the wave offering. All right, so right here is the wave offering right here. So now he said this. He said, skip down to verse 13 and continue.
Verse 13 reads, and they say unto her, verse 13, and they say unto her, woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. She turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, master. Jesus saith unto her, touch me not, for I have not yet ascended to my Father. But go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God.
Stop. Now, he's doing an alien thing, man, like almost like Neo in the Matrix when he's ascended up. But this is this conversation. He said, I have not yet. He said, touch me not, because he's the wave offer, because she would have ran up on him, you know. But, yeah, that's another conversation. I didn't know women can touch rabbis. Wow. Okay. Anyway, where was I? Okay, so now he said, touch me not, for I'm not ascended up to heaven. Okay, now let's go into Revelations chapter 5. Revelations chapter 5. In verse 1. Revelations 5 and 1. Because remember now, this is the Melchizedek priesthood. It's established now. And it's about this. Watch this.
Revelation 5 and 1 reads, and I saw in the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the back side sealed with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. And I wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. And one of the elders saith unto me, weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odours, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation.
Ain't that what we read in Hebrews? No. Ain't that what we read in Hebrews? We read that in Hebrews. He said, by his blood, he purified the most holy place, right? Now, here it is. It says this again here. And then he said, but when was he accepted? Of the wave offering, right? The Passover lamb was the purification of the sanctuary. Now, this here is the reestablishing of the Melchizedek priesthood. Watch this. Now, this is why this took place on the first day. This is why it was on the wave offering. This is why this took place here on the wave offering. Remember now, it says this. It said, touch me not, for I have not ascended unto my Father. John started crying because he said, I wept much because there was no one in heaven, no one on earth, and no one under the earth that could open the book. But then he said, weep not, for one of the tribe of Judah, there it is, the Lion of Judah, there it is. That's what we read in Hebrews, you know, who he spoke of, not even concerning the priesthood, came and took the book. Which only stands to reason because Moses had the book. He took the book from God. Levi. That only stands to reason. Moses took the book from God. He took the book from God. He took the book from the Father. Moses took the book from him. The book of
Amen.
God, right? And he took the one from the Father because there was one sitting on a throne, right? Then he came and said, sit down my right hand until I make all our enemies thy footstool. He sat down. He said, thou priest forever after order of Melchizedek. This conversation. Then in Hebrews, he said, let all the angels of God worship him, right? That's when they start singing a new song because they all start worshiping him. Read on.
Verse 9. And they sung a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth.
Now you see that? You see how he said, out of every kindred, tongue, and people and nation, because the Melchizedek priesthood is without lineage. And you have made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall do what? Reign on the earth with him. Go to Psalms 132. Psalms 132, and pick it up at verse 1. 132:1, when you receive it, read.
Psalms 132:1 reads, Lord, remember David in all his afflictions, how he swore unto the Lord and vowed unto the mighty God of Jacob. Surely I will not come into the tabernacle of my house, nor go up into my bed. I will not give sleep to mine eyes or slumber to my eyelids until I find out a place for the Lord and habitation for the mighty God of Jacob.
Skip down to verse 11 and continue. In fact, no.
Verse 11.
Forgive me. Read verse 8.
I will go into his tabernacles and worship at his footstool. O Lord, into thy rest, thou, in the ark of thy strength. Let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, and let thy saints shout for joy.
See, that's different.
Thy servant,
he said, thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. That's them. He said, let thy priests be clothed with righteousness, because he's the king of what? Righteousness. The Melchizedek priesthood is about righteousness, Jack. That's what it is. Read on.
Verse 10. For thy servant David's sake, turn not away the face of thine anointed, The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. If thy children...
He already told him that he was going to come through Judah. This is why he said Judah ruled with God. This is that. That's why he said he was going to sit on his throne. Not only is he a priest, but he's a king. Read on.
Verse 12. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony that I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon thy throne forevermore.
That's that other conversation when he said, has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. This is that conversation here. You are the Melchizedek priesthood. Anyone come up in the first resurrection is a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. This is verse 12. That's the first resurrection. That's the Melchizedek priesthood right there. Read on.
Verse 13. For the Lord hath chosen Zion. He hath desired it for his habitation. This is my rest forever. Here will I dwell, for I have desired it. And I will abundantly bless her.
So he said, this is my habitation forever. I desire to be here. In Zion, on earth. That's why, that's in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See? There it is. So now we on a planet with God, man, and he is a priest. So this is the thing. This is what's going on here. So go into Zechariah. We got one more after. Zechariah chapter 6, and pick it up at verse 9. Zechariah chapter 6 and verse 9, read down to the 15.
Zechariah 6 and 9 reads, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai, of Tobiah, and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest. Speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall go up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne. And the council of peace shall be between them both.
What? See, there it is. They're going to Melchizedek priesthood established right there. He's going to be a priest upon his throne. Where do you get these crowns from, man? He said, and take the crowns. That's a plural, right? And put it in, read that 11 again right there.
Yes, sir. Then take silver and gold and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest.
Watch this. Now go to Revelation chapter. Go to Revelation chapter 4. Revelation chapter 4 and 10.
Revelations 4 and 4 and 10 reads, the 24 elders fall down before him that sat on the throne and worship him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created.
There it is. So you see here, he said, now that's why you saw crowns, he said, that these crowns on his head, right? Who is this? This is Melchizedek, right? Or Jehoshadak in Zechariah. Same conversation of the priesthood. And he said, remember now the council of pieces between them both. Go into Revelation chapter 19. Because remember now, he said, sit down at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. And then you go lift up the heads of your enemies. Revelation 19 and 11, right?
Revelations 19 and 11 reads, and I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war.
See, his eyes, now we see heaven open. Heaven is on fire. Remember now the sun and the moon is out. So if we ain't seen no darkness like without the sun and the moon. We haven't experienced that kind of darkness before because we've never been absent of the sun. Well, at this day, we're going to say the day of the Lord is going to be absent of the sun. And then this happens. Everybody's going to see him. Well, he's on fire. Boom, he's coming down like a meteorite. Read on.
Verse 11. And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doeth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
You see that? So there go them crowns again that we read in Zechariah, and also that the angels threw on the ground before the Father's throne. We see now that they're on his head, because that's what Zechariah said to do, to put them on Joshua's head. That's what he said to do. He said, put upon Joshua's head the crowns, you see. So this is that thing. So this is him coming down, and he said this. He said, and he was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called. But wait, I need you to read that 12 again. Guess what happens here?
Yes, sir. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself.
See that?
And he was
clothed. This name here has no lineage. See that? Melchizedek is coming with a new name that has no lineage in this planet. Again. You see that?
Yes.
He bringing back the Melchizedek. He going to bring back the speech of the Melchizedek that he taught Adam in. Anybody that's born in this dispensation, minds are going to get exploded. Their consciousness is just going to just go into berserk like wild. It's just going to blow up. They're going to be using like 80% of their cerebral, maybe 90 in this time. Gonna be amazing. You got one speech, like we had in the days of Adam and Noah. You know, you one speech, and it's the speech of the candidates, man. You can achieve anything. You can do anything. Why were they still giants? That's another thing. Like I said, de-evolving.
We're verse 13.
Continue.
Verse 13 reads, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he shall smite the nations, and he shall rule them the rod of iron, and He treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God.
See that?
And, yes. Verse 16, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
See, there it is. He's a king. Melchizedek. King of righteousness. He's the King of Kings. Thou hast made us unto our God kings and priests. There he is, the King of Kings. Not the kings of this world, the kings of righteousness. Those that come up in the first resurrection, right there, verse 16. That would be hopefully us. Amen. Let's go back to Zechariah. Let's wrap it up there. Zechariah chapter 6. And we're going to wrap this thesis up here, right? And then we're going to go into the next phase. Where did the angels come from? Let's pick it back up at verse 9, Zechariah 6 and 9, and let's read down to the 15.
Zechariah 6 and 9 reads, and the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, take of them of the captivity, even of Heldai and of Tobiah and of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua, the son of Jehoshadak, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, behold, the man whose name is the branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne, and he shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both.
There it is. Between both of them, the Father and the Son. There it is for all eternity.
Amen.
Yeah.
Right on.
So, you know, now we know what heaven is created for them to. You know, that the Council of Peace may exist before us and, you know, so for us. Because we are right now the temple of God and stuff like that. So if we're the temple of God, we're sending up both sin offerings, peace offerings, free will offerings, and burnt offerings, and stuff like that. So that's coming from us. So they have to be there to receive that from us. That's what the angels were saying. These are the prayers of the saints. You know, they are performing the things in the temple too. You see, like Levi and them did. You know, Levi put the incense on the altar, which created the smoke, which represented the prayers of the saints, which went up. That's why it was a certain mixture. Certain people tried to make that, and they end up getting cursed. I mean, really bad. They started thinking really stupid and stuff like that. They went out of their mind. You know, why am I trying to hook this up? You know, and brothers were warning them, like, that's not where you shouldn't be. That's not for us. Because the book isn't, that isn't for us, not this day and age. That incense was for the sacrifices. The flesh and blood sacrifices. There is no flesh and blood sacrifices now. So there's no reason for that incense. So if you try to imitate it, you're going to be in trouble. So, with that being said, now the sacrifices of God now is righteousness, right?
Right.
So this is that thing. We got to read this last one. Let's go into Psalms. This is the whole conversation. Psalms chapter 51. This is what he loves, right? Psalms 51 and verse 1. And just read. This is what God loves. This is what they do. This is the reason why they sit on the throne. He said a council of peace is between them both. But we got to present ourselves, right? So let's read this, and then we're going to wrap this up. When you read it, continue. Go ahead.
Psalms 51 and 1 reads, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in thy inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then, when I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Thou shalt, then they shall offer bullocks upon thine altar."
Whoa, after we learn how to approach him the right way. What? You got to know how to approach it, man. You can't just be coming at him kind of anyway, man. You can't be lying on his altar, man. You can't be just blase, man. You know, you got to be, when you come to him, you got to come to him correct. And this is what he's saying here, man. We got to get our heads together. We got to approach him in the right spirit. Especially in this time during the Passover, man. Oh, brother, you got to so get it together, right? That being said, man, he said this is the sacrifice of righteousness, man. This is what they there. They're in the temple of God. So this is what he said, thou shalt not despise. He said this. He said, a broken and a contrite spirit, he would never turn that back, man. That's that ministry. That's that council of peace come in right there. That's your peace offering, 22, you know. That's it. That's what they do. Right? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken heart, a broken and a contrite heart, thou would not despise. There it is. Right? So that's how you approach God. So, Israelite, good job reading. Praise be the Lord. We got this done. We got it in. I will know we're up against the clock, but you got anything you'd like to add to this before we close out?
I want to say you did an excellent job today, Brother Job, and thank you for the compliment. All praises to the Most High God. Grace and peace unto the family and those that are out here listening. We should be mindful of the Lord's mercy and the wrath that he bestow upon us, because the Lord won't put us through anything that we can't handle. So I just think it was a wonderful lesson, and I just thank God that he watered us with his knowledge and instruction today. So much love to the family. I pray God that we all be together in the kingdom one day. So with that, I close.
Amen. In Jesus' name, amen. With that being said, man, everyone that's listening, feel free. We do have a PayPal if you want to, you know, donations. Donations are always helpful. Go to South of Living Waters, LawTalkRadio.com, PayPal, and you can donate whatever you see fit. God bless you. Everyone around the world, as we mentioned earlier, God bless you. We hope and pray that your Sabbaths are really peaceful and beautiful, and that the God of Israel has enriched your counsel. And once again, to our brothers and sisters that are near, I want to say, well, thank you. And everybody in this world, please be safe, especially those of us that are in the East right now. We pray that the temperature get turned down. But remember, these things have to come to pass because we got the end after the after. So we're praying for our brothers in the East. Please, 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 in the name of Jesus, keep them safe and from harm. So in Jesus' name, we ask these things. And with that being said, I want to thank everybody for their time. And we hope and pray that we edify you. And as we say here, at the sound of the little waters, read your Bible.
Read your Bibles.
Hey, read your Bible.
Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water. Sounds of the Living Water Radio Show.
We teach the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. Preach the gospel unto the scattered nations. So many people are lost, it's time to be awakened. Come out of this world, it's ran by Satan. Through the Most High's laws, flee from things pagan. Understanding the word of Yah is really breathtaking. Under his love and covering is so amazing. Thank you each day, so now let's praise him. Do things in unity, you and me. You wanna know what we talking about? Come and see. It's time to be deeply rooted up like a tree. You want the truth, it will set you free.
Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show. Sounds of the living water. Sounds of the living water, sounds of the living water, radio show.